welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this radio program, this satsang, as we like to call it, is for July 28, 2018, as we take a deep look at how screwed up are we? I get emails about being screwed up. Oh, four or five, usually a month, and usually I save them. Some of them are not fit for the air, but the ones I've chosen, I think you're going to get a kick out of. At least I did, and I hope that they serve the authors very well who offered these beautiful and different and inspiring insights to us. We'll take a deep look at it here for just a moment. I want to remind you that all of the offerings that you enjoy on Aspire, the podcasts, video casts, the radio programs, the TV, everything is supported solely and entirely upon your tax-deductible gift. Our sponsors are the people who make this possible. I cannot thank them enough for their kindness and their generosity that makes all this possible. Otherwise, I would not be on the air, and that would really, well, maybe, I don't know, maybe it would be good. I don't know. Maybe for you, after today's program, we'll see. Well, I understand why nobody supports him. But there you are. I'm going to give you a chance to do something really noble with your life, and I hope that you do. I really do. And if you want a little more information about Aspire, what we do, where your donations go, go to the website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org. And on the middle of the page there, you will see support. If you click on that drop down menu will ensue, and it says why support Aspire, and it will give you all the information you ever would want to know about where Aspire is, what it does, my hospice work, my hospital work, all of the things I do for the community, not only here, but the things I do for people who, well, you're going to hear them in a moment, are really not my students, but I do everything I can to help them. So I hope you will become a sponsor and help us. What's it mean to be screwed up in this world? Okay. Typically, it's about being confused. It's about being befuddled, not really understanding what we're here for, just kind of melding into the society that we live in, and trying to just get through, as I hear people tell me. Being screwed up means the lack of acumen, no mental comprehension about whatever it is that a person is doing. And I think a lot of us suffer from this one way or the other. Now, if you put me into certain situations like politics and things like that, I'm a screw up. I do not follow politics. I have a couple of students that straighten me out and show me how to fly right. But other than that, I don't know. I'm not even interested in it. That I just look at it from a sociological point of view, not a political point of view. So we all are screwed up one way or the other here and there. So I'm going to offer you some questions, three of them that came to me in the last 6 months. And I chose these very gingerly because I thought they would be maybe helpful to some of you. First one comes from Tammy in Wyoming, and she says, Greg, I am very screwed up. I don't understand many of the things you talk about on your TV programs. Please tell me, what is God's intent with someone like me? My life is a mess, and I don't know where to turn, Tammy. Well, I don't know what you mean, Tammy, by your life being a mess. I really don't. I'd have to sit down and hear what that meant to you. Okay, so I'm going to be doing a lot of Greg Penn assuming, okay? Which isn't really a very good thing, but I'm going to assume you mean that there are difficulties maybe in relationships and finances, in family. That's usually where the three areas are. And so I'm going to address your screwed upness, as you like to put it, from that point of view, if that's okay. What is God's intent with me? Everybody that I know, most people I know, I should really say not everybody, but most people I know, the majority of people that I talk to in the form of outside the practice and even inside the practice, they all have this thought about God. And they think of God as the ultimate entity to answer to in the course of their lifetime. In other words, everything is about answering to God. God made me. God can make this happen. God can make that happen. God can stop this. God can go forward on that. And they do this over and over and over again, thinking that if they were a better person, or if they said or did the right things, all of a sudden God would come down and give them whatever it is that they needed and wanted in their lifetime, in the course of their lifetime. So I don't know where people get this idea about God, except biblically, religiously. They just go into God like that kind of thing. Well, if you look at the tragedies of this world, where is God, really? The tragedy of war, just the tragedy of war, of poverty, of the things that are going on in our world where there are tremendous deficits and illnesses and famines and wars, and as Jesus said, rumors of wars, all these things. You've got to wonder where the hell God is. And, you know, based on our logic and reasoning, God must be similar to us. After all, he is the image and likeness of us, yada da yada da. So we go on and on and on with this idea, and you're asking God, what is God's intent for you? It's like asking, what is Santa Claus's intent with you? We all know there is no Santa Claus, although some of you want to believe there is. But nevertheless, there always has to be someone in charge. We always have to believe that someone's in charge of our life one way or another, that we answer to a higher being, and that we are here like little children to be herded into certain areas of life that are good and taken away from bad areas of life. We wouldn't want this thing to, you know, this wagon to come off its wheels and be in Sodom and Gomorrah. Yet we see in history that all of this stuff that happens is never stopped by this quote-unquote higher intelligence or higher power, as the AA people like to call it. People have to believe that there's something greater than themselves that pulls them through difficulties or makes things better or whatever. And this belief in a God is a very big problem. So now you don't even know what God's intent is. According probably to your mind, Tammy, God made you in the image of his own likeness, but he's not a woman, he's a man. Our father, Jesus, referred to him as a man. All biblical stories revolve around it as a man. So he really isn't like you at all. He is a male. Yeah, even there, the gender thing pops up, even there. So there you are, and you want him to tell you what to do because you can't figure it out for yourself. Ouch. There's nothing I can say to you that would help you, except you need to really come to a place, if you can, where you explore what you call God, what you call God. What I might call God may be different than what you call God or what you think of as God, blah, blah. You have to begin to see that first, and then you're going to have to take some responsibility for your life and what's going on in your life. And I don't know what's going on. But you ask, what is God's intent with me? My life is a mess. The intent of what you think of as God is your own. It's your own intent. What is your intent with your life? What are you going to do with it? Some people go the route of saying there is no God, so since there is no God, I'll just do it my way. Other people want to be guided and yada, yada, yada. There's all sorts of thoughts and ideas about that one. It's a whole ugly mess with most people, and there's no dealing with it because everything has to appeal to the pedestrian mentality of which most of us belong. And we belong to this club of pedestrian mentality because we have allowed other people to tell us what to think, to persuade us into what to believe in, instead of having our own direct experience with it all, which is what I urge my students to have, their own direct experience, not mine, their own. But needless to say, they are looking for someone to guide them. Everybody's looking for a leader. That's why politics are so important to the average person. The pedestrian mentality needs someone to tell them what to do, to lead them away, to make their lives better, to take them to the promised land, all this other stuff. And they'll cheer and scream and yell and think that they've got this thing by the huevos rancheros, and they don't. And it's an ugly, ugly thing we do. We are living in a kind of a deserted desert right now, both politically, socially, and even spiritually. So, God's intent? Well, it depends on what you call God, who you call God, what is God to you. Whatever that is, that's going to be the intent. But if you can find something other than that, if you can find intelligence within you, a profound and deep-seated intelligence that is the organizing principle of your own life, then you can understand, oh, I've given myself over to a story. I've given myself over to a belief. I've given myself over to a concept. I've given myself over to what other people told me I should be giving myself over to, and you have missed. It would be best not to miss, but to come to the place where you awaken. Your life is only a mess, as you put it, because you put it there. Don't do that. Hey, one of the greatest Zen masters was Henny Youngman. I don't know if you know who he was, but he was a very funny comedian with a violin, and he used to say, Doc, it hurts when I do that. And the doctor would say, don't do that. And that's what I'm saying to you. Don't do that. I hope that helps you. I do. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's hard to talk to people specifically when you don't know what their specifics are. So I hope that helped her. The next one comes from Thomas. He does not tell me where he lives. Do we really live as life would have it? Did God make my difficulties? And if so, why? Thomas. See, there's a theme going on here, if you understand. If you're listening to these questions, and the theme is that people don't think they're responsible for their lives. They honestly don't. They think that some higher power has come down and provoked them to live in certain situations or certain conditions that were less than desirable. It just keeps going and going, doesn't it? We have no sense of the inner. Thomas, because you have no sense of your inwardness, of what's going on inwardly with you, much less probably even your own psychology, you think that something is wrong, that you have done something wrong, or that God has invoked upon you some ugly thing that is going to mess up your life for the rest of your life. And that just isn't true. But we will like to think these thoughts because it takes us off the hook. Please remember, everything that is happening to us in the form of our life is in accord with some part of our karma. something we have set into motion. And normally I set things into motion in my life very unconsciously. We don't understand or appreciate the depth of our karma. And again, people erroneously think that karma is a bad thing. Oh, that's going to be your karma, you know, or if it's a good thing, oh, that'll be your karma. It isn't like that. Good karma, bad karma. It doesn't work like that. It's just the basic, let's keep it really simple, the law of attraction. And we attract to ourselves that which can only happen to us based on what we're doing within ourselves. Now, I have this. Everybody's had this. Every human being. Yes, even Jesus. Look what happened to him on Good Friday. That was as much a part of his karma as Buddha's karma to, you know, not go through something that painful and that ugly. Why did that happen? How come these things happen? They happen because of a grander scale of things in this world, a grander order and principle of things in this lifetime that we cannot know about based on the premise that was somebody else's responsibility to deal with. In other words, what Jesus went through was what Jesus went through. What Buddha goes through is what Gautama went through. Whatever it is that we are going through, we have designed it and built it for ourselves. And it didn't just happen in this lifetime. It has happened in other lifetimes. And we bring these things right into our existence, right into it. We don't know we're doing it. It isn't something we're doing to be mean-spirited. Well, sometimes we are mean-spirited, but it isn't what I would say intentional. So when I fly off the handle and I get all sorts of, thoughts and ideas about what's right and wrong, what's good and bad, what's fair, what's unfair, when I start looking at my life from the point of view of what I've done, what I've said, what has gone on in my life, when I'm looking at my living from the point of view of what I believe I deserve based on the kind of person I believe I am, doesn't mean I am those things. It just means I believe that I am. That is when we start having these great difficulties. So the first thing I would say to you, Thomas, is life is not the predicaments you are in. Life is the formless creativity that is there in my daily living, my livingness that formulates, matures, maturates into the kind of experience that would most be relevant to the type of mind, the type of consciousness, the lack thereof, that I have. Everything that happens is to remind me of consciousness itself. And once I understand that, once that I see that everything is hurting me, guiding me into the karma that would allow me to be liberated from my own sense of cruelty, unkindness, my body, my mind, my genetics, my DNA, once I understand that, then my karma looks differently to me. Now I follow it with great joy because I'm looking at it from the point of view of this is helping me, not hindering me. This is a very important thing to understand. You're not being punished by God. God did not make your difficulties, as it were. Again, you're going to have to examine what you call God. I made my own difficulties. I created them out of the frustration of living in the genetics, the pride, the vanity, the shallowness of my ego, my hubris became the form of my life. It became the life itself. And now here I am at the cul-de-sac of my own hubris, and I'm not seeing what's really going on. And there's great pain and sorrow in all of that. So you start to look at your life from that point of view and you start to see things for the way they really are, not what I think they are. you want to get out of your difficulties, you're going to have to transcend. You're going to have to transform. You're going to have to go through metamorphosis, a change. You're going to have to do things radically. You're going to have to go beyond the concepts and beliefs you have and drop them immediately. You can't be reacting and responding to everything from the point of view of emotionality. And once you start to understand that, that's when things really start to change and beauty starts to come into your life. You can do this. It takes practice. It takes a lifetime for most of us, but it can be done. Really, it can be, and you can do it. I hope that helps you. I do. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question is from Rachel. She does not tell me where she lives. Greg, can we really unscrew up our lives? Rachel. I love you, Rachel. I love the way you put that. If you take the time to put love ahead of desire, you will unscrew up your life. You have to put love ahead of desire, ambition, pride, vanity. If you can't do that, then nothing you do will be of any real help or service to you. Nothing. It will all be very, very painful. So you are the one that decides how this is going to go, how you're going to live your life. If you let love live you, if you find that presence of love within you and you allow it to have its way with you, allow it to have its meaning, its purpose, then yes, something of the other shore can reach you. And you will live your life in something that very few people understand. You will live in the common ground of loving kindness and compassion. You will find that middle road. Yes, you can unscrew it. We all can. And it's a daily effort, moment to moment. It is about living in the surrender mode, as I call it. Not my will, but thy will be done kind of mode. And when you're in that, that is when something huge begins to happen, something magnificent. You start living not for what you can get or how good you can feel in your body. If you only live for how you're going to feel in your body, you're going to be shallow and unkind, and you're going to find yourself deeply frustrated. But if you can live for that which is beyond your body, where you are not living for the accolades that your body can give you in the form of living for the matter of taste, but start living for the matter of kindness, compassion, understanding. When you are willing to live meditatively, allowing love, the authentic love, not the human love, the authentic love to live you, then something tremendous begins to happen. You no longer have to go through the torments and the torture of the ego. You can begin to see things the way they truly are, and not from, in my case, the slant of the old Greg Penn thing, where he thinks he knows, but he doesn't really know anything. We only know what we believe. We only believe what we can imagine from our ego, from our vanity, from our pride. We miss the whole thing because that's just the way we live in that kind of ugliness. Let love live you. Don't be fooled by the matter of appearances or opinions of other people. Let it go. Let everything go. And live in the compassion that allows you to do three things. Give, forgive, and have great mercy upon yourself and others. Those three things are the most important if you want to change the way you are living with your life and yourself. It will be very helpful. Trust me. Please forgive me. Namaste. Have a beautiful day. I'm out of here. be back on the air tomorrow morning. Thank you for listening, and please forgive me, eh? Namaste.